Good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Greddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us today. We have an incredibly special program. I've interviewed hundreds and hundreds of people in the last 40 years, but this is going to be a standout for sure. We have in studio today World War II veteran James Pack of the United States Marine Corps. He's celebrating his 100th birthday today with us this morning. Good morning, Mr. Pack.
Good morning.
Thank you for your service and happy birthday.
Thank you.
And I'm pleased to announce, and this was just given to me seconds ago, actually, that today will be declared officially, get this now, James Pack Day in Carroll County.
Oh, my. Thank you.
Yeah. Michelle Morgan, chairman of the Carroll County Board of Commissioners, honor and congratulate James Pack on the occasion of his 100th birthday and recognize October 17th today as James Pack Day. And this will may be made official at the November board meeting of the Carroll County Commission. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
This is your day in Carroll County, Georgia.
Thank you.
And it's a wonderful dedication here, and there's a lot of whereases. And for the sake of time, we're going to kind of delve into a lot of these whereases by talking about your life. But again, thank you. You honor us by coming in this morning. We're very grateful for that. Obviously, the ability to talk to someone who has your history is virtually priceless, because then we get a real world reading of what history was. And it's invaluable, not only to an old guy like me, but particularly for the younger people. Now, I understand you were first born in West Virginia, correct?
Yeah, born in West Virginia, and we moved to Ohio. My dad was a millwright in the steel mill in Pennsylvania, which we lived in a little town in Ohio called East Liverpool, Ohio, right on the border of Pennsylvania, and then right across the river was West Virginia.
What was it like growing up in East Liverpool?
It was nice, you know. You went through high school and played football on a track team, and lucky enough to be the Hall of Fame for football.
For the track team there, the school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was nice. It was fun.
Well, how big of a family did you have?
my mother had 9 children.
That's good.
Yeah, and I was 6 boys and 3 girls. And I was number 7 on the list, and graduated from high school. And one thing, we went to church every Sunday.
You said your father was a millwright. But
yeah, he was a millwright in the steel mill. Steel mill was right, because we right on the border of Pennsylvania and Ohio. And the steel mill was only about 10, 15 miles.
I think
away.
I saw somewhere he was a preacher too, right?
But he didn't have a church, you know. He was,
right.
Yeah, but they made sure that every Sunday we went to church, and then on Wednesdays we went to prayer service too.
Mm-hmm. So it kept all 9 of y'all's kind of calmed down and in order.
Yeah. Yeah. We never, because I never had any trouble with my, you know, with being obedient, you know. And of course, my one brother is just older than me. He was always, he's one of those kind of kids, you know.
What'd y'all do for entertainment? I mean, this is back, you know.
The High River was right there, so we'd go fishing, you know. And we played ball, you know, and
that's what kids used to do. Now they're just on their phones, you know.
Of course, back then, because, you know, you don't have a whole lot of things like they do nowadays, but But we still had, I think we had more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of people would agree with that.
Yeah.
What was race relations okay in East Liverpool? What was it like?
Because one of my grandkids asked me, when I was talking about going to school, they thought, you know, it was segregated. I said, no, not in Liverpool, it wasn't segregated, no. And a couple of my best friends were young white fellas, like, you know, and we always played together.
So you went through high school there, and this is basically 1923 was when you were born, of course.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And so this was about, you graduated high school when? About
I graduated high school in 1942.
1942.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And, you know, in grade school, because I told Ronnie about my first grade teacher. I still remember her.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, she's Miss Sherman.
You remember her name?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What? Because every morning we had to sing a part of Jesus Loves Me, Yes I Know, every morning.
And that was in a public school?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody make note of that.
Yeah.
Well, and you also grew up during the Depression, too, right?
Yeah, because between when I was born and starting school, I don't remember too much
about
that.
It.
Yeah.
What, do you remember anything about it? I mean, it was tough, of course.
I remember food was scarce.
Right.
And they had soup kitchens and people were lined up with their pots, you know, to get food for, you know, for the day, for the week. It was, because my dad being a millwright in the steel mill, we were lucky that he was still working now and then, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did your mother work, or was she a homemaker?
No, my mother
had to take care of all nine of y'all.
Yeah.
Well, that's an army of people right there.
Yeah.
Well, so graduating 1942, of course, 1941, Day of Infamy.
Yeah, yeah.
The war had broken out.
1941, that's the year my mother passed away.
Really?
Yeah. I remember it was August, and I remember she told me, be sure you finish school. And I don't know, you know. And then, of course, Pearl Harbor was bombed in, you know, December 7, 1941. And then I graduated 1942, and the war was just starting. And
when you heard about Pearl Harbor, what did it make you feel? How did it make you feel?
A lot of people didn't know where Pearl Harbor was, but I told my grandkids I was an A student in geography and history, and I knew where Pearl Harbor was, you know.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe, you know, that we were going to war.
There was no TV back then. So
oh, no. None with radio.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I'm okay with that.
And
so you heard it on the radio.
Yeah. Because I used to work on Saturdays and Sundays. I used to work at a grocery store, you know. And then I came home and, you know, I was laying down and I heard on the radio about, you know, the bombing Pearl Harbor. And, of course, evidently, the U.S. was thinking about something because my one brother, he was drafted in the Army just before that, you know. And then when they bombed Pearl Harbor, my other brother, just, you know, older than me, he volunteered for the Navy. And of course, after I graduated from high school, I got a job in the steel mill where my dad worked. And then,
okay, well, why don't we take a break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about you becoming a United States Marine.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to take a break, and we do want to welcome also Michael, a son-in-law of James Pack, is with us this morning, Antonio, who's a grandson, so a big family. We'll talk about the entire family, but next we're going to talk about joining the Marine Corps, but first, these words.
The customized academic scholar journey at Oak Mountain Academy is individually designed to provide students with a personalized, clearly defined academic track that earns the student a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically driven students to pursue a focused, rigorous course of study personalized to their wants and desires. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice as we celebrate James Pack Day in Carroll County, authorized and by the esteemed Carroll County Commission. It will be read in November and officially approved them, but they celebrate with you as we celebrate with you your 100th birthday today, and you honor us by coming in and being in the studio. So, graduated high school, worked in the steel mill, and then I assume you were drafted, and correct?
Because, you know, I told you I had a brother in the Army and a brother in the Navy.
Yeah.
And so me and another fellow, when they drafted, we went him and I were talking, and he said, well, your brother's in the Army, but I got one that got in the Navy. He said, well, I said, if we're going to fight, let's join the Marines. They're supposed to be the toughest, so let's.
And they are the toughest, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So you joined the Marines, and then what happened next?
Well, I tell you, when we got off the bus in Montford Point in Camp Lejeune, and I said, Lord, what in the world did I get myself into? Because boot camp was tough, and Sergeant Major Huff and them sergeants, they said, we're not tough. We just want to make sure that to prove to people that we're just as good as anybody else. So that's what happened. And out on the drill field every day. I forgot how long it was. And then after, went to the rifle range for two weeks and learned how to shoot the M1s. In fact, when they gave us M1s, you know, at first, you know, we had to learn how to take it apart, put it back together, blindfold.
Well, this was historic because y'all had to build your own barracks.
The barracks was when we got there. We lived in huts.
Huts.
Yeah, they didn't. the barracks wasn't built, you know. Then,
but y'all were separated from the white Marines.
Oh yeah, it was all Moffat Point. The camp was separated from from the white Marines. Yeah.
So the history of that is Woodrow Wilson, and during that time, 1913, they resegregated the military. But when you came in, FDR was moving toward the desegregation, right?
You know, they, They didn't desegregate until, you know, when Truman in 1945.
But there was
not. It was later than that, 47 or 48, because 1945 is. Because the invasion of, I was in two campaigns.
Yeah.
Saipan and Okinawa.
Right. Which were major battles.
Yeah, and Saipan was June 1944, and.
Well, now you went through basic training there.
Oh,
at
yeah.
Mumford Point.
Yeah, right.
Which was at Camp Lejeune.
Okay, right.
And then from there you were shipped out.
Yeah, we were shipped out. We left Hawaii. When you get on board them ships, you know, they don't tell you where you're going until about the night before.
Do you ask?
It didn't do any good to ask for you.
I think you were on the USS Pierce, right?
Yeah, USS Pierce.
And we're going to pop up a picture of that on our Facebook page so people can see the ship that you were on.
That was the first, that was the one then to Saipan.
Right. So you were on the ship as a Marine.
Yeah.
And with other Marines.
Yeah, you know, it's a funny thing. You know, although, we were whites and Marines and black Marines, et cetera, but when we got on ship, we're all there together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I think you said somewhere that it wasn't white and black, it was green. Y'all were Marines.
Yeah. Yeah. And we... D-Day, I think I told you when that was, and RCO was Captain Adams from South Carolina, and after Saipan, I don't know what happened to him, but evidently he couldn't take it because they shipped him back to the States. And
What most people don't know is there was a second D-Day, and you were part of that.
Yeah, Okinawa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okinawa was April, if I'm not mistaken, April 1st, 1945.
Well, let's talk a little bit about both those battles, because they were both critical. Saipan, you were on the ship with helping with logistics and supplies and that kind of thing. What was your role on the ship?
Unload the ship with we had a little bit of everything on that ship. We had ammo and food and all of that to make sure that got in on the beach, you know. And we stayed down on the beach until till the island was secured. And in our first night on the beach, the captain's aide got killed the first night on the beach.
You knew him, right?
Yeah, captain's aide?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tibbetts was his name. He was from Ohio, too. He was from Columbus, Ohio. Mm-hmm.
He was the first black soldier casualty.
Yeah, right,
In World War II.
Right, mm-hmm.
Saipan was an important island.
Yeah, because, Saipan was in the Marianas, and right across from Saipan was Tinian. And, you know, that's where the B-29s,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there was some B-29s on Saipan, too. And
that's why it was so important.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because you know when it Peleliu was, which is I forgot, but that was important. Saipan and Tinian, because and then of course the Iwo Jima, because with the B-29s going from Saipan and Tinian to Japan, you know. That way, Iwo Jima, they had, in case, they could stop there if they had to.
Let's go to the second D-Day. They say Okinawa was probably one of the bloodiest battles in the World War II.
Yeah, you know, although, you know, we were in the Marines, the Black Marines, but, you know, they were only depot companies and ammo companies, you know, although we still had our M1 rifles. And our main jobs was, you know, make sure, the ships was all unloaded and ammo and all of that was, you know, would reach the frontline troops, you know.
Mm-hmm. What was it like being, you know, sometimes war is somewhat made to be glamorous, but it's really, in some ways, it's really a horrible thing, isn't it?
I don't know about it. I don't know how they could figure it to be glamorous. Mm-hmm. when people are shooting at you and bombs are dropping around, nothing glamorous about that. And every night, blackouts, you know. And I don't know when we were on Saipan, I know every night Japanese, sent a plane over there and we made sure that nobody's had any lights or even a cigarette, you know, burning. Because it wasn't pretty.
Mm-hmm. What happened after Okinawa? Where were you? What happened to you after that?
After Okinawa, we were there. We were on Okinawa, and we were all packed, ready to invade Japan when they dropped the atomic bomb. And unfortunately, I got hurt and broke my ankle on Okinawa. And they flew me back to Guam, and I got on a hospital ship and ended up in Oakland, California, in a naval hospital.
You know that there ain't no way I'm going to go without asking you how you broke your foot. How'd you break your foot?
Well, before we got on board ship, we were all packed, ready to, but we was playing baseball, and I slid into home plate and I could hear it crack. And I said, "Don't touch it, it's broke."
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All that was going on around you. You had to break your foot on a sliding into home plate. Well, at least you scored, I guess. What was the thinking among the soldiers when they heard about the atomic bomb being dropped?
Well, they figured, the war was over. That's what, they were thinking that. But my outfit, they went to China with I don't remember which Marine Division. We were always attached to the 2nd or 3rd or 4th Marine Division. Wherever they went, that's where we went. But they went to China, and of course I got hurt, but I told the sergeant, I got to go with you. And he said, "No, you can't go. You can't walk." I said, "Yeah, I can still go," because I had been over there by 20 months already. Mm-hmm. And so it was just like being brothers with all those, they wouldn't let me go with them. So they shipped me on back home. And I went home and I was, had my leg in the cast for 6 months. And I told my sisters and brothers, what happened. They didn't believe me.
Yeah, I'm not sure I believe it either. That's funny. We're going to take another break, then we're going to talk about life after the war with our honored guest, James Pack. But first, these words.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating a 61-year legacy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to join us for our annual fall festival. On Friday, October 27th at 3:30 p.m., join us at the OMA Gym for food, fun, and fellowship. Costume, games, raffles, and competitions are just a few of our fall festival exciting activities. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. We're going to keep it to 9:06. World War II veteran James Pack, as we celebrate James Pack Day in Carroll County today, as he celebrates, and we celebrate with him his 100th birthday. Well, let's take a quick look. Let's see. You've gotten several awards and medals, but the one that I guess you have the Asiatic Pacific Campaign Medal with 2 stars in lieu of second and third awards, World War II Victory Medal, Good Conduct Medal, etc. But it was really the Gold Medal of Honor that really kind of stands out for you, doesn't it?
Your Congressional Gold Medal?
Call it your Congressional Gold Medal of Honor.
Yeah, because General Amos, I think it was, because he was at his banquet and he was telling us that he was going to make sure that we got the Congressional Gold Medal. And I think it was about 100 of us or so, got it. And him and some of the other generals presented us with the Congressional Gold Medal. And that's something that I'm really proud of,
I guess, as they say, once a Marine, always a Marine.
Oh, yeah.
You've been extremely active since you returned from World War II with the Mumford Point. Different, the Marine Association and leadership positions, but also the Marine Corps League. Tell us about some of your work post war.
I was first president of the Mumford Point Marine Association in Detroit, Michigan.
And that's where you had your career in the water department of the city.
I spent 35 years with the Detroit Water Department.
But really, the Mumford Marine Association and Marine Corps League, that's kind of been your passion for many decades now, right? I mean, you've done a lot of work with them in a lot of capacities.
With the association, I was, president of Detroit chapter. Then I joined the Marine Corps League, and then I was Department Commandant for 2 years with the Marine Corps League, and got the Marine of the Year in the with the Marine Corps League, and also got the Marine of the Year with the association too. And I don't know whether I should mention Devil Dogs.
Oh yeah, I think you were a member of the Military Order of Devil Dogs.
Yeah, right.
And you were Pound Dog Robber of the Year for 2001 and Dog of the Year, too.
Yeah, right.
I think you can mention that.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, we thank you for coming in. Is there anything you, we're going to have to wrap it up, but something like this is priceless because it just seems like more and more people don't know their history.
That's true. That's true because I went into a grocery store and somebody, you know, was talking about, you know, I had a cap on, say, you know, Marines, and the young lady, she was a cashier, and he said, and she said, "Oh, you were in the Marines?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah, WW2. And she said, "What is that?" I said, "World War II." And she said, "Well, I didn't know that."
She never heard of it.
Yeah.
And that was here in Carroll County?
Yeah. Yeah, in the store in Villa Rica.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. Yeah. That's not a good thing. Well, we thank you for sharing your history with us this morning. Of course, as I tell you before the program started, my last question was, how does one make it to 100 years old? That's the big secret. So.
Yeah, just live each day and thank the good Lord. And that's something I do every day. I will bless him, and I hope he blesses me every day.
Well, I think even without answering the question, we kind of see it in your eyes and what the way you handle yourself and your attitude and your demeanor. I mean, like you said, every day is a gift. And, you know, having seen all that you've seen, which is more than practically all of us will ever see, it's just wonderful to see you smiling and full of life. And you got a big family now.
Yeah.
Do you know how many grandkids you got?
I don't know.
You don't know. You got a bunch. You got a bunch. So
thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad for you, and God bless you, and we're very honored to have you in studio. And on this James Pack Day, as deemed by the Carroll County Commission, honoring James Pack on his 100th birthday. So besides saying Semper Fi, we'll say happy birthday.
Thank you. And don't forget my good friend, Ronnie Pate.
And we thank Ronnie Pate for helping to bring you in today. Mm-hmm. And he's been a delight and a real asset. And so we're grateful to him also.
Thank you.
So hopefully I may be ending a little early, but nevertheless, we can arrange that. But again, thank you for coming in. And maybe you come back next year on your 101 birthday. How about that?
I hope so.
And this is on Facebook Live. If anybody wishes to share it, it will be on our YouTube channel also. And again, Mr. Pack, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. Go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB, Carrollton.